It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Friday morning to you right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo's League and Game Plus. And, of course, iHeartRadio. It's Gil Alexander, as the man said. Jason Kahn is here as well. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I am well. We got a good show today. Mike Sando will join us. Mike Sando, who, part of the trio of guys that wrote this piece on Russell Wilson yesterday for The Athletic. We will have him to start hour number two, talk to him about how that story unfolded, what his take of how it unraveled, how it unraveled, between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, how that went, where he thinks Russell Wilson might end up. Will he stay put? We'll just get to the whole autopsy of that story with Mike. Looking forward to that. Mike, who writes for The Athletic, senior writer over there at The Athletic. Know him from his ESPN days. Vinny Maliulo, of course, hour number two as well. We always close the weekend slow jamming with Vinny. And then our old VSIN colleague, former major leaguer Josh Towers. I love the surly Josh Towers appearance. He will be here later this hour to talk about some betting props in baseball that we've talked about. It's been baseball week here on a numbers game. We'll get Josh's take on a couple of them, including Cy Young, obviously right in his wheelhouse as a former pitcher. But he also has things to say about Buster Posey and the switch and all that kind of stuff. That should be fun. Paul Carr will join us momentarily to talk about his Premier League picks as well. And we will look on primetime action last night, which I do with Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin on MSG Plus weekday nights. We took a look at these DraftKings seeding props last night. At least we flashed them up on the screen. We didn't really dive into them deeply. We touched on them, but we'll sort of see what those are priced at. Good for DraftKings for putting those up. We'll see what those are priced at, and we'll juxtapose them against where Joe Lunardi has those teams currently. Obviously, there's conference tournaments still to play, including a handful of games before the actual big dance. So nothing set in stone, but it'll be interesting to just take a look at that as well. And there was a points bet Russell Wilson prop as well that is no longer up, because then it was reported yesterday that Russell Wilson didn't actually ask for a trade. But hey, if you trade me, I would like to go to these four teams. By the way, there's a difference in the four teams, right? Between the Athletics four teams and then the Adam Schefter's four teams. Anyway, there's a whole bunch to talk about. We'll get into it all. Before we get to Paulie here to talk Premier League and get his thoughts on what we've seen in the Champions League. Last night, late night, in case you missed it, Adelaide, Australia. Terrible accent. Iga Swiatek does it again. She wins in the semis. She knocks off Jill Teichmann, who, as you know, we've bet on this show before. She does so in straight sets once again, like her French Open run. She has not dropped a set. French Open was Iga's first ever title. How about that? Winning your first title, being a slam. Well, she's looking for her first hard court title now tonight in Adelaide. And it will be against, it won't be against Coco Gauff, sadly. It will be against Belinda Bencic, the number two seed. Swiatek is the five seed in this tournament, post-Australian Open hardcourt tournament there down under. But Swiatek ends up being in this match tonight about a minus 270 favorite. So while I have Swiatek at plus 610 from some matches ago earlier in the tournament, so for me, this is a big match tonight. Very big match. By the way, some people asked, are you hedging? Nope, not hedging. But for those yesterday, I said minus 125, I would still sanction that bet before this Teichmann match. So I hope a bunch of people jumped in on it, because actually, as it ended up, if you did the math between Swiatek's price on this match with Teichmann in the semis, which was right around, it started at minus 550, ended up $6. And then what her price ends up being against Bencic here in the final, despite being the worst seed, she's still a minus 280 favorite. It actually ought to have been minus 165 or minus 170, somewhere in that pocket. So I hope folks took the minus 125 yesterday, because, yeah, I'll say what I said yesterday. She's going to win double-digit slams. I waxed much more poetically about her yesterday, but she's going to win double-digit slams. This is Jacob deGrom before Jacob deGrom. Pick your athlete. This is before the market ever catches up with her. Jason, what did you do? You said you're not going to be out of this anymore. You jumped in?
Yeah, I grabbed Iga yesterday at 5-1 to win the French.
There you go, which I recommended yesterday as well. Again, not as sexy as last year when it was 33-1, but 5-1 to win the French. She's the Rafa Nadal of clay, I think. I think you're going to see that on clay from her. But while Osaka is the hard court master, Swiatek is the clay court master. I think Swiatek is more of an all-court thing. Like, she'll win on every surface, and she's going for a number two title tonight. May it happen in Adelaide. It's Gil Alexander. This is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Again, a lot of football, a lot of baseball today on the show. But let's start with the beautiful game, some soccer, with our buddy Paul Carr from the Expected Value Podcast and, of course, True Media Networks. How you doing, Paul?
Morning, Gil. I'm doing well. I had about 20 minutes yesterday where I was real excited about this Russell Wilson to the Dolphins possibility. But he kind of poured some cold water on or whatever, but it was fun to dream a little bit.
It was weird, right? I'm going to talk to Mike Sando, who I know you know, a little later. And they had the Dolphins in their initial list on The Athletic, but then Schefter did not.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it means. You know, everyone's floating out.
Yeah,
wishful thinking and misdirection and whatever, but it was fun just to think about. Oh, that'd be fun for a few years to get Russell Wilson in with, you know, a pretty decent defense, and he needs some help. But
you think we could
dream a little.
You think he stays put, or you think he moves finally?
I think just like Deshaun Watson, like the most likely thing is staying put. I mean, there's just so much invested. The Seahawks would have to eat a ton of cap money, and you know, if they have him, there's still some sort of contender for the next, you know, 2 years at least. So I would think he stays put, but if someone brings a Godfather offer along, they got to listen.
The Godfather offer. My spider sense will tell me Wilson stays there for one more year, and Deshaun, like, I think that Deshaun Houston thing is a stalemate where Houston incorrectly thinks they have leverage. I really do.
Yeah.
That could get ugly.
I do feel like each side thinks they're in the driver's seat in that one.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means.
That ain't good.
Yeah, stalemate is kind of the most likely thing that seems to happen, but I suspect there's going to be more ugliness. Yeah, leaks are going to come out about people saying things, and it won't be pretty.
Yeah, we don't have to trade you. Well, I'm not playing. We'll dock you pay. Okay. You know, I think that's what it's going to come down to, so that's going to be ugly. You know where I really thought about you here in these last few days, though, before we get to soccer? And you know where I'm going with this. So you are kind enough to tell us stories from your old ESPN days when you come on a numbers game. And, you know, it has to, some are funny, some are poignant. And the last time you were on, Jason, do you remember what this was? So the last time you came on, I don't know why we told this story. I don't remember why this was the one that got triggered. But you told your Tiger Woods story just randomly from the night of, you know, the Elon golf club car thing, where it sort of unraveled forever for Tiger. And one of the things you said, I'll let you repeat it because I don't even want to see it, because it gives me the creeps when you... What was one of the things you said about that story?
It was just a weird day, and news trickled out in a very different manner than it does now, because this was 10, 11 years ago. And at one point, there was a normally legit news outlet reported that Tiger was in critical condition. And in the research department, one of the things we do at ESPN is you're putting together notes when somebody passes away. So we had to have this conversation. It's like, do we do a Tiger Woods obit packet?
Oh, God. Yeah.
And it was just surreal.
And the other day, I thought of that. Now that Tiger's, you know, not we know that it's not life-threatening, we could talk about this. But that's exactly what I thought about the other day. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the Paul Carr story, like, coming to life right now.
Complete flashbacks. I saw it on Twitter, you know, Tiger Woods in serious car wreck. And I was like, oh, goodness.
That was the weirdest.
Here we go again.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing that happened on this show since there was a Colt McCoy game. And we were talking about a football game at night, and I just sort of randomly threw it. I mean, I don't know. Colt McCoy could break his leg tonight. That could happen. And then Colt McCoy goes out and breaks his leg. So we got to stop. Superpower on this.
Your fault.
Yes, on this show with this stuff. So anyway, that was creepy the other day. Okay, Champions League. You went 2-0. So this week you went 2-0 the first day, and then you split the second day, right?
Yep. Yeah. Atalanta got a red card, and a cheap red card in the 17th minute pretty much killed that bet.
Yeah. Were they both plus money? I can't remember.
Let's see. The other three were all.
Oh no, they split.
A little less.
It was a total split on Wednesday. Okay, well, three out of four ain't bad, as Meatloaf once said. I know it was 2-3. Okay, so what did we learn from not only these games this week, but also going back to the first week?
Yeah, I think this week I don't know that we learned a whole lot. I think the biggest takeaway is that PSG is still a threat to win this. They got to the final and lost to Bayern last year, and they haven't looked great in Ligue 1 this year. They're not in first place. Usually they run away with the league. So they're in a real dogfight there. So I thought that they were not in that top tier. And I don't think they're in with City and Bayern as those two favorites, but I think they're right behind them. And as they continue to get healthy, because they didn't have Neymar, they didn't have Di Maria in their match against Barcelona, which they won 3-1 in Spain. So they're a legit threat to win this one still. And I don't know that everyone had them that high entering the week.
Okay. So Champions League. And Bayern is still the cream of the crop? We're convinced of that?
I'd say Man City 1, Bayern 2 would be
Man City 1, Bayern 2. Right. Okay. Yep. So for those who, so Champions League, again, for the American sports fan and the American sports bettor, this is like, okay, wait a minute. You guys always talk about Premier League. Now you're talking about midweek Champions League. Champions League resumes when?
Let's see. 10 days from now. So the 9th and 10th, I think, is the Tuesday, Wednesday of March. They'll have the second legs of all these round of 16 matches that we had the past couple of weeks.
And those have aggregate score considerations. Yep. To also handicap.
My brain always breaks trying to bet these things. Yeah, it's just weird. PSG won 3-1 at Barcelona. So PSG's down 1-0 late in the game at home. There's no urgency for them to try to score a goal. So they'll be fine. Narrow loss is fine. A tie is fine. So these are always hard to handicap because of the weird situations, incentives, motivations, and all that. But it's great drama usually because one goal can swing things so dramatically.
And the reason of the scenario you just gave is because away goals count more than home goals.
Yeah, PSG got the 3 away goals. So even if it was 2-0 at home, the Barcelona PSG would still go through on the away goals.
Gotcha. All right. I like that you're wearing your old school sweet ESPN pullover there. Yeah. What does it say underneath ESPN there? I can't see it.
ESPN Stats and Info.
Stats and Info. Back in the day. Before he was at True Media Networks and doing his own thing with the Expected Value podcast. ESPN Stats and Info. All right. Premier League does resume, though, this weekend. What you got?
All right, so I'm getting back on my Brighton train, which I've been on for a good chunk of the season. Their underlying numbers are just so much better than their actual numbers. They're in 16th place, not far out of relegation, but they're actually fifth in the league in expected goal difference. And I'm not saying that Brighton is the fifth best team in the league, but they're much more of a, you know, middle of the pack, not really a threat to make Champions League, not really a threat to get relegated type of team. They just had really bad finishing luck, and they're giving up. Their opponents have had good finishing luck is kind of the difference there. And they're playing West Brom. West Brom is, again, the worst team in the league by any measure. They're down at the bottom of the table, and their underlying numbers are, I think West Brom's in 19th, but their underlying numbers are worse. So I'm going to take Brighton in this one to win at West Brom at -105. Here's an example of how Brighton's had some bad luck.
Please.
They lost 2-1 to Palace on Monday. I took Brighton to win that one last week. Brighton outshot Palace 25-3.
Oof.
Now, you don't need expected goals, fancy anything to tell you that. You outshoot a team 25-3, you're going to win most of those games. And they lost. They didn't even get a draw out of it. They lost. So that's a microcosm of Brighton season. They're just way better than West Brom. West Brom won't have one of their starting defenders, Semi Ajayi, this week because he's suspended for yellow cards. So I expect Brighton, you know, it won't be pretty necessarily, but I mean, the finishing has to come around, right? I keep telling myself this, but
yes.
I'll take them at -105.
So there is not exactly a marquee matchup, but bettable. Nope. Brighton at West Brom, Brighton -105 on Saturday. As always, shop around for these exact prices, but that's where Paul got it. Brighton in 16th with 26 points in the Premier League. Just on the inside looking out, as they say. In the Premier League standings, West Brom on right there on the outside looking in terms of relegation right now. They're in 19th, second to last. Not a good season for West Brom to this point. Okay, Brighton is the call there. All right.
Yep.
Number two.
All right, I'm going Leicester win against Arsenal. This one's on Sunday. I had said Saturday. I think the graphic says Saturday, so that's on me. But I'm taking Leicester to win +150. Leicester's a little better than Arsenal. I think 150 is a good price. Arsenal just hasn't been great against the better teams this year, against these top six teams, which includes Leicester. Arsenal's only has, I think, one game out of eight with over 1.3 expected goals. So Arsenal's, you know, they're in what, ninth, I think? No, they're 11th.
11th,
table.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of what they are this year. I know the name is better than that, but that's really what Arsenal is. Leicester's in third, which is probably generous to what their form and their numbers suggest. But Leicester's just a little better. You get +150 at home. That's pretty good. And I don't know if it matters, but Leicester's got a little more to play for. They're trying to get in that top four. They're trying to get in Champions League next year. Arsenal's doesn't have a ton to play for. They advanced in Europa League this week. They may be focusing on that. So I like Leicester at home, +150.
Yeah, Leicester with a 6-point cushion in terms of Champions League next year between third and fifth place. 25 matches into a 38-match season, by the way, third place, but a distant third, obviously, Man City, with a 10-point cushion over both Leicester City and Man U. All right, so Leicester over Arsenal, +150, nice price. That is a Sunday match. Let's clarify that. And then number three.
Yes, here's your big game of the week. This is Chelsea, Man United. This is early game on Sunday. or sorry, later game on Sunday. I think it's 10:30 Central, so at 8:30 Pacific. I like the under in this match, under 2.5, -110. Here's the key stat. Under new manager Thomas Tuchel, so he took over for Chelsea, a little over a month ago. They played 8 games. Only one of them has had 3 or more goals. Chelsea has shifted a little bit to very much a control the ball. They haven't totally figured out what to do with it in the attacking third yet, but they've had 68% possession in these games. So they keep the ball a lot. Manchester United's got a couple guys out. Paul Pogba won't play. Their midfielder, who's maybe their best player. Edinson Cavani, one of their forwards, is kind of dicey to play as well. So Chelsea's been hanging on to the ball, not letting the other team score, and also not doing a lot of scoring themselves. If you watch them play Atletico midweek in Champions League, it's kind of what it's been like, although Atletico was super defensive, more so than Man United will be. But I still like the under 2.5 getting -110 here.
I feel like your totals have been pretty solid this year. I'm not sure if that's anecdotal or just recent memory, but
I'd like to think so.
Yeah,
I'd like to think so.
Chelsea right now, again, 5th place, so they're trying to get into the Champions League 4, if you will. Whereas Man U, if they really want any realistic shot of getting to Man City, got to start here. But you are on the
They don't have one.
Yeah, they don't really have one.
Those placements are interesting, just to say, like a draw, not the worst thing for either team. Like Manchester United is pretty much fine with a draw. You get a point away. You keep Chelsea a little further back. And it's not the worst thing for Chelsea. It doesn't hurt you as much. They'd love to get the win, but point being, if it's 0-0, it's 1-1 late in the game, I don't know that any team's going to open up to try and get those 3 points.
All right. Well, you're on the total there, the under anyway, in Chelsea, Man United, under 2.5. So Saturday, Brighton at West Brom, Brighton -105 again. Shop around for these prices. Then Sunday, Leicester win versus Arsenal. Good game right there, +150. And then later, as Paul said, 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern on Sunday, Chelsea, Man United, the under at 2.5. Thank you, sir. As always, we will leave a story out because I don't want anything bad happening this week.
That's right. We're not jinxing anybody. Everyone have a nice, safe, profitable weekend.
Thank you, sir. Paul Carr,
all right,
everybody.
Have a good one.
You too. At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. With his Premier League picks every week, with Champions League picks thrown in when the Champions League is played. Another 10 days from now. Leg 2 of the round of 16. So this is what we brought out on Primetime Action last night. This is over-unders for NCAA tournament seeds that DraftKings was cool enough to put up. And they did it for 11 different teams here. Is this the complete list, or is this just the 11 we put up? I can't remember. But they have them for these 11. I just want to juxtapose them against where Joe Lunardi has them right now. Obviously, each of these teams has less than a handful of games. You know, they have conference tournaments in front of them as well, less than a handful of regular season games, then a conference tournament to boot. So these are obviously still games to be played to determine where these are. So enough of a runway to make interesting bets on these. With Lunardi, he has Oklahoma as a 3 seed. The over-under here placed on here at DraftKings, the under juiced at -134. Now, we always have to get the terminology correct. Under means we're just talking about the number. So if you're 4.5, the under means you either finish 1, 2, 3, or 4. Not to be confused with higher or lower seeds, which completely confuses people. So under on Oklahoma is properly juiced if you believe Lenardi's current number 3 seed for Oklahoma. Oklahoma, by the way, when they get to the Big 12 tournament, they're like an 8-1 shot to win the Big 12 tournament, a tournament lorded over by Baylor, as you know. Missouri, next on this list, DraftKings has Missouri at 5.5, the over juiced at -125. Lunardi has them at 7 as a 7 seed right now. They, of course, have an SEC tournament to play in between now and then, in addition to some games. Bama, the short shot in the SEC tournament. Iowa, who got rolled by Michigan last night, 2.5 is where the DraftKings seeding is. Lunardi has Iowa as a 3 now after that drubbing. I would not bet the under there. That's over or nothing on Iowa after that last night. Iowa, of course, with a Big Ten tournament to play that involves Michigan and Illinois, is shorter shots than them. FSU out of the ACC. DraftKings has them at 2.5 with the under heavily juiced at -143. Lunardi has them as a 3 seed, as an automatic qualifier from the ACC. So maybe some value there on the over, 2.5 +115. USC, DraftKings has them at 4.5. Lunardi currently has them as a 5. They will be the short shot in the Pac-12 tournament. Kansas, DraftKings with 4.5, but the over heavily juiced at -200. Kansas, Lenardi has them as a 4 right now, which would sort of go against that. But of course, Kansas, again, games to play, a Big 12 tournament with Baylor involved. They're 6-1, by the way, per bet MGM in the Big 12 tournament. Texas also out of the Big 12. Lenardi currently has them as a 4. Their over-under is set at 3.5 at DraftKings. Florida set at 7.5 over-under seeding. Out of the SEC, Lenardi currently has them as a 7, just up to a 7 now. So that got a little dicey. His under is -152. So right now, per Lenardi, that would be right in pocket. But I don't know. That's too much juice for me. Wisconsin out of the Big Ten, of course. They're 10, by the way, 10-1 in the Big Ten tournament per BetMGM. They're a number 5 per Lenardi. 6.5. This is the biggest difference between a current Joe Lenardi seeding in bracketology and what DraftKings has them here, 6.5. So maybe some value there on the under at -110, if we could flash that up for the last two guys. Arkansas and Creighton. Arkansas out of the SEC, Creighton out of the Big East. Lenardi has Arkansas up to a 5 seed, Creighton up to a 4 seed, but since you guys took it off the screen, I can't see it anymore. So I don't know where DraftKings has them in the seeding, but that's where they are. Let me see if I can find it. Let me fight what's going on and see if I can get it. Yes, they have Arkansas. Lenardi has them as a 5.5. Creighton as a 4.5, so 5-4 respectively, so not much of a bet there. Wisconsin and Iowa, I think, are probably the value bets there. We'll come back. We'll look at the Russell Wilson prop next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With basketball and hockey games every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN's at Mandalay Bay every Saturday and Sunday. Check us out down there. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beanie the Book. I always appreciate how closely people pay attention. We have one here from Dom Ricci who says, not nitpicking, but it's 2 out of 3 ain't bad for Meatloaf. And again, that sounds to me like the definition of nitpicking, because I did say 3 out of 4 on purpose, was in on the joke, and then muttered, I know it's 2 out of 3 ain't bad. But it's so funny how closely people... This is so great. Thank you, Dom Ricci, for that nitpicking tweet. Appreciate it. By the way, so Lenardi, I think Iowa and Wisconsin, probably the ones that currently should. If I were betting any of this, and by the way, we can't because we're in Nevada and these aren't available to us. But if you are in a DraftKings jurisdiction, at least based on what Lenardi has right now, that would show DraftKings value. But of course, you've got to make the assessment of who they still have to play and then what they might run into in their tournament. So all of this very much in flux. It's like doing mock drafts, right? It's like, who knows? Who knows where it actually ends up? But Lenardi's singular, job of the year is to come up with seedings for these things. It's not the most impossible job in the world. So they're going to be close to what it is. But based on the two, those are the two teams, Iowa and Wisconsin, might show the most value right now. The Russell Wilson thing. So this broke during our show yesterday, and we talked about the rumors coming. First, it was an Athletic article, and the three gentlemen that put out that piece for the Athletic, Mike Sando, who will be on the show later, also Michael Sean Duggar and Jason Jenks, the three of those guys got together. I really want to know how it germinated, how that article first came to be, what made them want to write it in the first place. Because, I mean, you could pursue all kinds of things in the NFL, but what was it that sort of said to them, we should probably look into this? And then Adam Schefter followed up. But the interesting thing is the Athletic four teams, and we'll get to this with Sando later because he responded to the Schefter thing. The Athletic four teams in terms of potential destinations for Russell Wilson were the Dolphins, Jets, Saints, and Raiders. By Schefter's tweet, the Dolphins and Jets had been replaced by the Bears and the Cowboys. By the way, the piece of The Athletic is called "What is Driving the Rift Between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Power and Control." Well, there's your short macro answer. So PointsBet put up, here's a, by the way, Adam Schefter tweet, Russell Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears, his agent Mark Rogers said to ESPN. So I'm not asking for a trade, Jason, but you know, if you were going to trade me, here's my list. Some people going with Sierras behind all this. We shall see. Anyway, so PointsBet, when sometime between the Athletic's piece in the morning and when that tweet came out where Schefter said he's actually not asking for a trade, PointsBet had this prop up. It's no longer available, just for giggles, because this might inform some of your NFL futures wagers if you believe that Wilson will be on the move. So the next team Russell Wilson will take a snap for, PointsBet still had the Seahawks at -2,500. So right there off the bat, you're kind of saying, nothing's going to happen. I really don't think Russell Wilson goes this year. Next year, different story. But Seahawks -2,500. Interestingly, and this is again for giggles because it's not up yet, but they might put it back up. When it was up, the Raiders were 4-1 as the next shortest shot there. Raiders were 4-1. John Gruden does not seem to be real chummy with Derek Carr. A lot of that is behind that. You don't think John Gruden would love Russell Wilson? Oh. Dolphins, Jets, Saints, all 7-1. Cowboys, Broncos, 8-1. Jags and Washington, 9-1. Bruh, put Russell Wilson on Washington, and I will go nuts. By the way, Russell and Sierra, if you're listening to the show, and Sierra, I really hope you are. You know what I mean. Please, Washington and the greater DMV area, a fabulous place to raise your kids. Just want to point that out. Panthers are 14-1, Patriots 18-1, and Dub Bears at 20-1. So I don't know. I mean, I can't really make a case because I genuinely don't think Russell Wilson's moving. Deshaun Watson, as I said earlier, though, I think he's going to win that stalemate. Houston might think they have leverage. They don't have leverage. They really don't. Deshaun's going to force something. Or he's just going to sit out. I'm fine. Take the money. I don't need it. I want to play for you guys in your horrific organization. So whether they put this, if they put this up, back up, I might have some thoughts. It's not up anymore, so it's all hypothetical. But my gut is Russell Wilson stays. We'll talk to Mike Sando about it later. My gut may change. We'll get to that. No, don't Josh. Josh Towers next to talk baseball right here in a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, we're on top of all the sports on today's schedule, as well as the future impacts of NFL trades, free agency, and draft choices to help you become a sharper better for every game on the board. Not about just picks and predictions, though, man, have those golf picks been great across the board with Humans and Brown and West and Brady? We give you the analysis and insights you need to become a smarter, better on every sport in general. We have the best handicappers in the business giving you the tools you need to create your own betting edge. And right now, for only $50, you can put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Finals. You get everything we offer, including our members-only daily best bet emails, point spread weekly guides with up-to-date power rankings, the upcoming bracket betting guide, and, of course, all access to VSiN.com. Sign up today to get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops Tournament for only $50 at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest lists as his career achievements working for VSiN and beaning Alex Rodriguez in an actual Major League Baseball game. Today, though, we celebrate his birthday by showing him giving up home run number 747 to Barry Bonds. Roll that video, Jason. Roll it. Look at that. Cam, fan cam from AT&T back in the day. It's Josh Towers on the mound and Barry Bonds going yard. There's a sullen Josh Towers on the mound. It's the birthday boy, Josh Towers. How you doing, Josh?
Did you really just play that video?
Oh, we're still playing it, Josh. By the way, I have a quote from you after you gave up this home run. And tell me if this is an accurate quote, if you remember saying this. According to reports, Towers wasn't all that impressed with Bonds' homers. Of the pitch Bonds hit, he said, quote, it wasn't good hitting. It was just a hanging slider, unquote.
Listen, I stand by that, actually. I told my son, too. I said, listen, the pitch sequence was probably the worst sequence of pitching you can ever throw in your life, and he deserved to hit a home run if I'm going to pitch that bad.
I was just going to say congratulations.
I stand by that, actually.
Yeah, I was saying congratulations, man. You're on the Bonds list. That's a good thing. Happy birthday, Josh, man.
Thank you for that. I appreciate the highlights that you listed for me, too. I appreciate those.
Yes. Those are career highlights, right? The beating of Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, you were fights, giving up homers.
You were not a fan of Alex's, right?
No, I mean, we cleaned it up when we played together. You know, anytime you get with somebody and you know him a little bit and things change a little bit. But no, playing against him for years, I wasn't. There's a lot of things that he did I just didn't like. But the me beating him thing, you know, you and I have talked about this. He just deserved it. You know, he did something on the field that you just don't ever do. And that was a long time coming. So that was warranted on his end.
Before we get your thoughts on betting props like Cy Young, what's this Buster Posey thing you wanted to talk about? Buster Posey wants to ban the shift. Is that right?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, at the same time that the Mariners CEO comes out and says his piece and gets fired, Buster Posey comes out and says we should ban the shift. And listen, I understand that you can't ban the shift, but I appreciate when guys like him come out and say this type of stuff, because these people running baseball, these people running the minor leagues for the most part, not all of them, but a lot of them, they don't understand the game of baseball. They don't understand what they're doing. You know, you're trying to manage, predict, coach, win a game based off of computers and numbers that you put together yesterday or last week, and it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, when you ship these kids, you give them a card. You give them a card that has Gil Alexander. This is what he does. His tendencies. And so, if I'm at shortstop, I pull it out of my pocket. You're coming up, and I go, oh, I got to move to spot 17 on the field. So they just rotate over to the designated spot, and then they just stand there, and that's the position they play. They don't process the game. They don't process the pitcher. They don't understand your swing. Are you hot? Are you cold? Have you been streaking? Is it hot? Is it cold? Where we're at in the season, the game situation. Nothing's processed. So these kids are becoming so much, in my opinion, dumber for playing the baseball. They're just standing around being told what to do, and they're not having to learn anything. And I think it's why it's a big part of the reason why the game is in such a bad place. It's the same thing why we're just hitting home runs and striking out. And it's just, I love the fact that Buster Posey says it, because now if I put you back in your position, you can shift, you can slide over, you're going to have tendencies, you're going to read swings, are they late, are they early, you're going to do all that stuff. If I'm on the mound, it's going to be completely different than Jacob DeGrom's on the mound, but you're going to still shift us the same exact way. That makes no sense. So I think that when you eliminate stuff like this, these players actually have to use their brain again and their skills, their reactionaries. I just think it'll make baseball a better place.
Well, it is an interesting conversation, and maybe, you know, with commercials here, it's too big to get into right now, but it really is about – so they're using analytics to try to win baseball games, right? Those who employ the shift want to do so to win baseball games, but it falls under the general category of, have analytics ruined the game? Like, ultimately, you won't have a game if nothing's happening, right? So it's kind of fascinating in that way. It's like we've gotten so smart that you've killed all excitement, kind of thing.
Well, it kind of goes back to, I was saying this the other day when we had a baseball game last night. We had a baseball game on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, I was talking to the first baseman, the umpire, and I was like, you know, it's funny. You look at all the people in the stands. They have no idea what's happening on the field right now. It's just a generalized baseball game. They have no idea the adjustments that we're making, what I'm telling my pitcher, my catcher, my hitters, why I'm moving the defense, and why they're paying no attention to what's really going on. And we kind of just zone all them out because we actually have a plan of what we're trying to accomplish. And you see a baseball game, you go, oh, was he just dominant on the mound today? No, there's very specific reasons why he was dominant on the mound today versus this team, but these guys have no idea. So these people that are sitting in the stands are the same people who are now running baseball. They've never played the game. They've never been on the field. They've never had to understand the in-game adjustments and the conversations and the preparation for all this. And now they're going to a computer to understand the game, and then they're trying to act like they're geniuses on it. Goes back to, I tell them all the time, I said, yo, we had analytics. We just didn't call it analytics. We didn't call it metrics. We didn't have these little cameras that we put in front of home plate. But if you think that the Mussinas and the Holidays of the world, you think we didn't sit in there and study all this and write our own analytics on everything that was happening, you're out of your mind. We're shifting our defense ourselves on the field. Like, we had this. We just didn't call it. But we also processed it based off of experience and what we're trying to accomplish that day. these people who have never played are trying to base off a computer and numbers because they don't understand the game from the field perspective. So it's a very dangerous place this game's becoming. I don't think it's going to last very long because I think a lot of people are getting tired of it.
What we only have like 45 seconds to the break because I want to get to your bets here that you want to make. But just give me 60 seconds on and maybe 45 seconds on Kevin Mather, the now gone CEO, the one-time CEO of the Mariners, sort of saying the quiet out loud.
Hey, what's my Twitter handle again?
No, don't Josh.
That's why you don't do that.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Shut your mouth. You got a pretty good job. You got some good players. You know, these Latin players that come over, of course their English is broken. Of course it's the same language. They're coming to a new country, man. Like, I mean, you're going to say stuff that just maybe you feel maybe is correct. Maybe it's something you actually do, but you can't say it. And we get so caught up in thinking that no one's recording or we relax for a moment. I mean, there's certain jobs in life where you just got to shut your mouth.
All right.
That was one of them.
Josh Towers, everybody, former Blue Jay, Yankee, and Oriole. Of course, our buddy here at VSiN. We'll get his NL Cy Young and AL Cy Young picks, some yes-nos for the playoffs. We'll do that next with Josh. Maybe even do some season wins. We'll see what we can coax out of him. At No Don't Josh is his Twitter, as he alluded to. The reason he has it as No Don't Josh is his way of reminding himself not to tweet what he's about to tweet, but in Josh's case, he ends up tweeting it anyway. Betting props. Baseball week continues next with Josh Towers right here on The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers Game is always brought to you by BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM for a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on Canelo Alvarez to win against Avni Yildirim. Just use bonus code VSIN100. And don't forget to watch live on DAZN February 27th. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. BetMGM, the exclusive odds provider of DAZN's U.S. boxing broadcast. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. And 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. And in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Josh Towers joins us. Josh Towers, former major leaguer, at No Don't Josh on Twitter. All right, Josh, let's start with the American League Cy Young Award. This is right in your wheelhouse. You've taken a look at the numbers. What do you like as a bet, sir?
Listen, it just gets tougher and tougher, I think, these days. We got better teams this year, pitching staff-wise. I mean, long shots, but I like Dallas Keuchel. I mean, I think that he can continue to be successful. He just doesn't put up enough strikeouts, so that's the one thing that holds guys like him back.
Keuchel at 22-1. Did we lose Josh right there?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Keuchel at 22-1. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Oh, we're in and out with Josh. All right, we'll try to reestablish connection.
Yeah, we're here.
There you go.
The obvious plays are Shane Bieber, but I just think with that team not being as good, the runs not scoring, I think it's tough. I mean,
yeah, we're in and out with Josh. Let's try to reestablish connection. So Shane Bieber, by the way, 4-1 with the Tribe in Cleveland. That's the second shortest shot in the American League. Garrett Cole plus 350 is your short shot. Dallas Keuchel, 22-1 is the one that he cited there. And so those are his two American League picks. We will get to the National League. Josh, by the way, for those who were wondering, like, where has he gone? He was coaching in the Mets system over the last couple years. So he couldn't be with us, but he's intimately familiar with that pitching staff. So it'll be very interesting to see what he feels about Jacob deGrom as the short shot and what that rotation has in the offering in terms of a Cy Young pick. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the price is not right. Do we have Josh back by any chance? We do not. Okay. So we'll try to get to NL Cy Young Award with him as well. But that was, you know, one of the things is with the Mets, and again, my only baseball picks, let me just review my baseball picks before we get Josh back. What I've bet so far, I had a future on the Mets at high teens to one, hoping that, in fact, they got Trevor Bauer. Didn't happen. Now, could they be a buyer at the trade deadline? That could be in play, I guess, but that was the play was to get ahead of the Trevor Bauer thing. Didn't happen. So immediately when Trevor Bauer went to the Dodgers, I took the plus 350. Just said, I'm taking it. They're that much better than everybody else. I want to forget about it in my account. I won't remember it till the postseason, but I have a Dodgers bet on the futures market. The only other things that I have is I have home run to win the home run title. I have Yordan at 40-1, Tatis at 30-1, and Seager, just because I like the number at 125-1. Jason Weingarten and I both have Seager 25-1 for MVP. And then we have the Juan Soto 75-1 to win the hits as well. All right, Josh, you're back. So NL Cy Young, or did you complete the AL Cy Young talk?
The AL Cy Young's a little bit tougher to me. I mean, there's not too many guys that like clearly stand out with the. I just think the AL is a little bit different. I mean, Garrett Cole's an obvious play, but it's tough at Yankee Stadium, in my opinion, to win the Cy Young. It's a little tougher for me there. In the National League, I like Yu Darvish. He's my number one play for sure.
Yu Darvish, number one in the National League. Your reasoning is what?
I just think that I know over the years there's been some disagreements on him. I just think he's one of the best pitchers in the game. I think he's finally in a comfortable spot. Pitching in San Diego is one of the greatest places on earth to pitch outside of maybe Oakland. What he did in Chicago last year, I think it's going to carry over. He's got protection now with that staff and that offense. I can see him putting up just his Japanese Bugs Bunny numbers again. I mean, I think it's going to be awesome for him.
there it is.
I would stay away from like Trevor Bauer's of the world, man. I just, you know, he's had two good years in his career. And last year was a contract year. We're all good in contract years. I know the Dodgers are probably the greatest team on earth, but I mean, guys like that short shot, I would stay away from Bauer's.
And you would stay away from DeGrom just because the number is short at 5-1.
Yeah, it's short. I mean, obviously, we know how good Jacob is. I mean, he's probably my favorite player in the game. And he's proved that you don't have to get wins because that's a team thing. But I think it's tough. I mean, I on paper, you like the Mets team, but they have zero depth in the organization. And what happens when somebody gets hurt or there's some adjustments made and they have to go find somebody? I think it's going to be tough for them.
All right. Yu Darvish, 10-1 with the Padres, your choice for National League Cy Young. By the way, were you in contact with your old Mets buddies about Trevor Bauer? Did you think Trevor Bauer was ever going to be with the Mets?
I think Trevor Bauer's too smart. I think he, you know, all the stuff, that he, you know, all the antics and everything that he does, he's fully prepared weeks in advance, months in advance for anything that he does. I don't think going to the Mets was ever in play for him. I mean, they could have offered him probably more money. I just think that with all the problems the Mets have, like, why would he want that? And I just, yeah, I did never cross my mind that he would end up with the Mets.
Interesting. All right. Darvish, 10-1, the play in the National League, much more confident than the Keuchel 22-1 play in the AL. What about yes-nos? You took a look at yes-nos to make the playoffs. Either to the yes or to the no, which teams leapt off the board for you in that market?
Well, first off, I thought something you sent me said the Orioles are going to win 65 games. I can never in my wildest dreams imagine them winning 65 games. True number, I would take the under.
65, you'd go way under on the 65 season win totals for the Orioles.
I just can't. I can't see that at all. That's such a weird number for me. I like, unless they got something I don't know about, that's one of the worst teams I've ever seen in my life. So, no, I don't understand that one at all.
Worse than the Pirates in the National League, Josh?
How bad are the Pirates? They're going to be pretty bad, too. I think it's going to be a toss-up, to be honest with you. I mean, I know the Pirates aren't very good, but I really don't see much in the Orioles. I mean, I looked at both their lineups, and when I look at it, it's as arrogant as this is. I'm like, I don't even want to study the guys. Let's just go play baseball. We'll worry about it later. I have no interest in even going over the hitters. Like, and then the pitching is not there for them. And, you know, in Baltimore, you fired your entire mass and fired all the TV guys and the radio guys and they're bringing. I mean, it's they're in the second rebuild in 4 years. Like, this is it's a disaster over there.
Did they fire the radio and TV guys? I missed that story. Wow.
All the guys that have been there, like the voice, like, you know, when you have your population, you have Maryland and all these people, yeah. who, that's how they know, you know, we have Vince Scully in L.A. Yeah, they fired all of them. It just makes us.
Oh, man. Like Thorne and all those guys? I got to check that out. All right. Orioles.
Yeah, Jim Hunter, Mike Bordick.
Oh, man. Palmer? Institution. Orioles 65.
Palmer's the only one who's still there.
Oh, he's still there. Okay. 65 under on the Orioles guy. For Josh Towers. What else?
I find it interesting that the Dodgers have 103. I wouldn't mess with that because they're probably going to go over, but I don't recall seeing a 103 in a long time.
Well, it was 104 and a half at the open, and I think you're spot on there, which is as great as they are, you just can never recommend an over on that high of a game total.
It's too hard. I don't understand the Marlins 73. I thought the Marlins were continuing to improve. They're getting better. I understand the division. I know the Braves are a nice team, and I know on paper everybody likes the Mets, and Philadelphia should be improving. They got a good lineup, but the pitching always seems to hold them back, and we know the Nationals can pitch. We'll worry about their offense. I still think 73 is pretty low on the Marlins.
73, lean over on the Marlins. Okay. A lot more bullish on the Marlins than you were on the O's, that's for sure. All right.
Yeah.
What else? Got a couple more minutes.
The Diamondbacks at 76, I think, is high. I mean, you gotta factor in the division, and we play each other like 19 times or something. There's not too many wins with the Dodgers. There's not too many wins with the Padres. So, I mean, what are the Rockies, San Francisco, Arizona going to do? I mean, what if they play 500, and then what are they playing out of division? I think 76 might be a little steep on Arizona.
Okay. So, under on Arizona as well in the NL West. A division in which the Rockies aren't even trying, under on Arizona. And let's have one more here, Josh. One more.
Honestly, I don't mind the Padres over.
Really?
I mean, they got to gel a little bit, but I think that team's good. I mean, they got one of the best catchers in the game. They built this team to compete with LA, right? And I don't know, man. I mean, there's a lot of confidence and excitement going into that season. I don't mind it. I mean, I know it's high, but I don't mind it.
What number are you citing right here? The Padres at 93.5. You like the over?
Yeah, that one.
Okay. All right. Josh Towers, everybody, at No Don't Josh. Again, happy birthday to you, Josh. Congratulations. Have yourself a great day.
I appreciate that, buddy.
Great talking to you.
Thank you. All right, buddy. Bye, buddy.
Josh Towers at No Don't Josh. By the way, Josh Towers also a big fan. He'll be very upset with me for saying this out loud. But there's no shame in this. Big fan of the reality show. 90 Day Fiance. Jason Weingarten, Josh, and I have that in common. I have gotten questions on Twitter from a few people. Are you putting out your Major League Baseball manifesto this year? So every year at VSiN, I have written my season win totals manifesto for Point Spread Weekly, and those have done spectacularly well. We were 3-0 again last year, even in the truncated season. Actually, we had three picks. We only carried two over to the truncated season. We went 2-0. So let me be accurate about that. The answer is I will do it, but I will probably do it in a transcribed form this year because, again, I'm doing two shows a day. So what we will do is we will put together a podcast, or I will put together a podcast at Beating the Book. Again, we're all podcasts are distributed. You know it from the football season where we do guessing lines and the Megapod weekly. We'll do a Major League Baseball betting bonanza. Like, we will just do everything. And I'll have Jason Weingarten all there. I'll have Paul Sporer. We'll have Matt Vasgersian. And we'll go through season win totals. We'll go through yes, no's. We'll go through all these. And so part of that will be my season win totals. Then we'll transcribe it. We'll put it in Point Spread Weekly. And for those who asked, thank you for asking. We'll come back. Mike Sando, one of the three guys at The Athletic that wrote this story on Russell Wilson. We'll talk to him next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.